And for those of you who I do hope are streaming us, and for those of you who I do hope are going to thegreatvoice.com for the podcasts, they don't play any of the music on the podcast. So you're hearing me go, boom. See, now our regular listeners at 760 on the AM dial or the live stream are now hearing what you hear when you go back to thegreatvoice.com on the podcast. I sometimes sing along with the music, so to speak, except you don't hear the music. Well, that's the way that goes. Here's the way this goes. Todd Flood, managing partner, Flood Law, all-round good guy. We lean on him a lot for many things, if not all things legal. He is also the host of Behind the Bench, heard once a month here on WJR. In fact, this month's show will be coming up Monday. This Monday, March 11th at 7 p.m. Well, you know why he's here. Of course, he's here because they've had the opening statements in the trial of the father of the Oxford High School shooter after having the trial already of the mother. Todd, always a pleasure, my friend.
Pleasure is mine, Paul W. Keep singing. Keep singing.
I can't help it sometimes. The music just makes me want to sing a little. But it does sound funny if you listen on the podcast and you don't hear the music. You just hear the... thing around. So how did it go this morning?
Well, night and day compared to the first trial. The defense attorney is, I think, sharp. She was a matter of fact, and she obviously got a roadmap from the first trial of what not to do, and that, you know, don't bring up Taylor Swift and don't say that I wouldn't change anything. So she really just simply got out in front of the jury and said the government is not going to be able to show that my client in the facts and case had knowledge the son, the shooter, was going to do this, and you can't hold them accountable. Now, on the other side of the coin, the prosecution in this case was clear. He's the one that bought the gun. He was the one in charge of the gun. He's the one that did not use the lock to keep the gun in safe keeping. So it's going to be an interesting trial. It's moving quickly, competently. I think it'll go faster than the first trial. And I think due process is going to be a lot easier for everyone to see. The defense attorney in this case is, for the father, is very sharp. And it comes as a very ethical, above-board attorney, and I think people will come to appreciate that.
I'm just listening, so, and I'm not following these things because it's a long story. I don't really want to. But anyway, and I know you are, and I trust your take on all this, but it sure sounds like you didn't have a lot of respect for the first set of attorneys in the mom's case.
Yeah, I just did not seem as though she was prepared, and there was never really a theme that came across with the defense counsel in that case, and it seemed to be all over, in spatterings, and I couldn't necessarily follow a lot of people of what she did. I would have never put my client on the stand and not had prepared for my client to answer questions. And when her client got up on the stand and said, I wouldn't change anything, that, in essence, that I think is kind of a death knell. And here you see a totally different tact, arguing facts and law. That's what everyone's supposed to do when you're in the, I call the Coliseum, when you're in that arena, you know, there's statutes, there's facts. What is it? Go to the recipe book. That's what the jury's going to get, the jury instructions, and hone the case in towards those jury instructions. What is it that the prosecution has to prove? You know, knowledge, foreseeability, causation. All right, now let's go into that and see if the facts support those jury instructions, the law. And that's what a good attorney, both on the prosecution side and on the defense side, is going to do. And it's not going to be the in court fighting of, bickering between attorneys. It's going to be the arguments that should be competent in front of a judge. And that's when you watch this case, for all your listeners out there, if they watch this case, they will see that. They will see, and I think, ultimately, the evidence that comes from that witness stand, that's the evidence. Not what the lawyers say, but the evidence of what comes from that witness stand, what witnesses say and what is introduced. That's what a case in trial is supposed to be about.
Real quick, the Rust case, they found the person who should be found guilty, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who was the armorer. She was in charge. She was solely in charge of making sure that the weapons had dummy ammunition and that no live ammunition was anywhere within 100 miles of that place, and she failed. I have always felt they're going after Alec Baldwin because he's the name and they can all write their books based on, you know, what happens with him. But I can't see where he's guilty, except guilty of doing what you lawyers tell your clients not to do. Shut up. Don't talk. And all he did was kept talking. It shouldn't even be a factor whether he pulled the trigger or not. But by him saying, I never pulled the trigger, now they have something to hang on him because they're going to prove he pulled the trigger. But it shouldn't even matter, because if he pulled the trigger with a gun that was properly set up by the armorer, it wouldn't have mattered. Don't get me started. I guess I got myself started.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. So the death knell to a lot of cases is when your client starts talking, now you have to explain it away. Always, ask for your attorney. But the 1,000% put the responsibility and blame for those that were in charge of the guns. Who would put a live round in a movie set gun? Who would do that?
The person who's been found guilty and nobody else.
There you go.
All right, we'll be listening for your show Behind the Bench coming up this Monday at 7 p.m., the one and only Todd Flood. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks so much, Paul W. Be well.
You be well, too, as we continue on WJR. Winter means it's critical to get your roof repaired or replaced now. What? Look how beautiful it is out right now. Great time to catch up on this, because the Michigan winter can turn your small problems into major issues. There's only one roofing and home services company I can recommend to my listeners from my own experience, and that's Victor's Home Solutions. They did a couple of roofs. They did a replacement roof, which many people need right now, and they did a brand new roof that I don't think they do that as much, but obviously they can, because they did a brand new roof on a brand new structure for us. And they're so confident in their work, they offer a 50-year leak-free guarantee on every roof they install. Now, you combine that with their world-class customer service and workmanship, I can attest to, and you can see why they have more 5-star reviews than any other home services company in all of Michigan. Get started with a thorough evaluation of your roof with Victor's free 21-point inspection. Call Victor's to schedule yours today. Victor's Home Solutions, 734-6666, 914. 734-6666, 914. Or request an appointment online at victors.com. 1232, we continue with Paul W. J.R.